What's up? Welcome to NExpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com, where there's only two hosts this week. It is just myself, Tim Mason, and Patrick Murphy's here with me.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo country? No, it
doesn't. Oh, sound. Hey, look at that. USA represent. Yeah. So this week, we can bash Canada all we want because Rick's not here. And I guess Isaac is normally here as well, but he is from the U.S. But still, no representation from anywhere else but the States. And I'm really excited this week, despite the fact that it's just two of us, Patrick. I'm incredibly excited because that means I get to talk about Pokemon to no end. But there's also, like, no end to the conversation that we could have around Pokemon, because not only did we get a Pokemon press conference last week that I didn't get to cover because I was too busy, but we also have a new Nintendo Direct that came out that was dedicated to Pokemon Sword and Shield.
I know, this is like kind of a perfect thing for you, because none of us are Pokemon experts enough to really dissect what exactly happened last week. That's why we didn't even bother talking about it. But yeah, now that we have you here, you can kind of lay, because I was sort of confused by last week's stuff, less confused by the Pokemon Direct this week. But yeah, we've seen it, and I am sure you have tons of thoughts, Tim.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So actually, it's really funny that you mentioned that, because the other Nintendo editor today, after the Pokemon Direct, was like, hey, we're looking for Pokemon articles. If you have anything, shoot it by me. And I immediately messaged him back and was like, yeah, I've got to process this for a little bit and then decide what I want to write first, but I'll have something sooner rather than later, I'm sure.
I mean, I know, I actually got what he was saying. Yeah, this is James Baker, for anybody who he's been on the podcast a couple of times. He's a Nintendo editor over at GoombaStomp.com. Yeah, he had some thoughts, and he probably, I got to say, I kind of agree with him. You can go there. It's about the Dynamax, and people can go there and read about it. And for those of you who don't know what that is or do know, we'll be discussing that, obviously, I'm sure, in great detail. Tim, I'm sure you will have strong opinions on this new mechanic.
Yeah, I definitely do have opinions on that mechanic, and I'm glad that you've read the article as well, so you can kind of represent his voice as well, since he's not here. I'm sure we'll have him on sooner or later to talk about Pokemon Sword and Shield. But before we get anywhere, Patrick, how have you been and what have you been playing?
So, I mean, it has been a slow few weeks for the Switch, which is actually fine. I've been fine with that. Obviously, last week I did Gato Roboto, and I actually replayed it really quickly. Man, you can replay that game super quick. I 100%ed it in just a little over 2 hours. It was like 2 hours and 3 minutes, because the game keeps a timer at the bottom while you're playing. I mean, you could blow through that game and find everything really fast. It was enjoyable, and I still, you know, all the problems that I had with it still remain, but I still think it was a good game. And anybody who's interested in like a super breezy Metroid Lite, you can go ahead and pick that up. I'm sure I will replay it again in the future, simply because it is fun enough to play, and it's really, really short. Like, playing as the robot cat is really fun. It's just when you play as the cat, there's one section that it's a big section too, where you play as just the cat, and the cat is not fun to control. Like, he still wasn't during my playthrough. I was better at controlling him, and I knew how to beat the boss and everything like that. But yeah, it's a little like, these are the kind of bosses that once you know their patterns, I just blasted through them like it was nothing. And, you know, the first time I played through, I died like 10 times on each boss, but trying to figure out their patterns. Anyway, I replayed that. I've been making my way through Mario plus Rabbids again, which I still find to be a very, very fun game. I am contemplating, I started a Hollow Knight replay, but I got interrupted by some of the games that I had to review, some of the indies. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like 2/3 of the way through a Hollow Knight run, but I am now contemplating, after watching some recent YouTube videos from Mossbag, for anybody out there, he's like the lore specialist, I think, anyway. I know there's some other, like, fan, you know, some of the guys making lore videos as well, but there's a guy named Mossbag on YouTube who's just awesome, his videos. So after watching a couple new Mossbag videos, I was like, I think I want to start over, just start from scratch and do another complete run. Anyway, so I'm contemplating that before all the E3 stuff hits, because I bet that once E3 happens, there's going to be a "it's available today" game, and I'll probably
absolutely. I am like not sure what it's going to be, but we all know it's there and it's waiting for us.
Yeah, I'm Pushmo Switch. It's available today.
That'd be amazing. Oh my gosh! Yes. If I had Boxboy and Pushmo on the Switch, It's just more evidence that the 3DS is just dying out. I love my 3DS so much, but if I can play all of Box Boy, which would be good, I think they should put the rest of it on.
That would be great. I'd replay all of them. Bye-bye,
yeah, Box absolutely.
Was, I still think, the best game in the series. And man, it would be great to replay through that. Because obviously I've forgotten all the solutions at this point in time. There's so many puzzles in Box Boy. The amount of content that you got, and Box Boy, remember, was only $5 on the 3DS. And the amount of content you got, it spoils me for like what other games should cost. Because you could easily put 15 hours into Box Boy. 10, no
this,
doubt.
This could be its own full episode, I swear, because you're absolutely right. You paid $5 for one of the best original puzzlers I've played in so long. Like, I don't remember finding any attachment to something as quickly as I did to Box Boy. Pushmo was close, really close.
Yes,
but sir. Again, like, I feel like we play a lot of indies on this show, and it's kind of like $10, I can kind of understand. Well, we pay upwards of $15, $20 for some of the games that we review on this show.
And that's like, right.
Sure, that's not breaking the bank by any means. But I am really questioning the quality of game and the amount of content you get out of a Box Boy game for the price is absolutely unbelievable. So
there are some games that ruin other games, and I think the Box Boy series is one of those. I think it was $10 on the Switch, but it was cheaper on the 3DS. But it was tons of content still. Not as much as the Switch. The Switch has more content than any of the 3DS games, but not by so much that it's unbelievable. I think games like, you know, Hollow Knight, $15 for that game? That game should be, like, that would have been reasonable as a $40 or $60 game, in my opinion, after playing through it several times. Like, that's a 40 to 50 hour game the first time you play through it. And the production value is so high, I think, that could have easily been, like I've said before, I think Nintendo would have been proud to have made Hollow Knight. So I think that could have easily been a $60 game that you get for $15. And I think that's a game that ruins other games for how cheap it is. I think Box Boy at $5 like ruined a lot of indie 3DS games because it made you all of a sudden really wary of, this costs $10.
Yeah,
better be worth it.
my indie purchasing has actually gone down recently, and it's largely that issue where I feel like some of these really really high quality games are so cheap. Not to mention that, like, as the price of, like, AAA titles and stuff goes down, you can really flesh out your Switch library for not expensive these days. And I'm just hesitant to buy anything brand new on the eShop just because I want something small to play alongside some of the bigger games that I have on my Switch.
Yeah. And I think when I buy something like right off the, like at full price, it's usually from a developer I want to support. Like, I'll get Silksong at full price. Like, I don't care what it is. Even if it is $60, I'll pay full price for it because I want to support Team Cherry now that I loved Hollow Knight so much. And I feel like I got a steal for that game. When Tomorrow Corporation puts out their next game, they're another indie developer that I like. And even though I wasn't so, big on, 7 billion people or whatever it was called, 7 billion humans, I still, whatever their next game is, like, they have enough of a track record for me that I want to support them, like, as guys who are putting out games that I find to be unique.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how I'll go to a theater to support certain filmmakers. Like, when Sam Raimi puts out a new movie, I will see it in theaters. Even if it's a movie I'm not necessarily all that interested in, like Oz the Great and Powerful or something, I'll go see it in theaters.
I forgot that was Sam Raimi.
Yeah, and it's not a bad movie, actually. It's got some really cheesy parts, but I also think there's some really, really good parts and a good performance from James Franco. That's a little aside for... I think that movie received a lot of... Not hate from critics so much, but I think, you know, from audiences were mocking it a little bit, I think, at the time, anyway. And it was not... It was an okay movie. Other than Mila Kunis, who was probably miscast. That's the nicest thing I could say about that performance. But yeah, anyway, I'll go see a Sam Raimi movie automatically because I love Sam Raimi. Now he's not exactly an indie director anymore, not after the Spider-Man movies. But I want, you know, I definitely want him to keep making movies like Drag Me to Hell or you know, The Quick and the Dead or Darkman or something like that. I want him to make movies.
Did you see Drag Me to Hell in theaters?
Oh yeah, I saw it multiple times.
Were you? So Ryan, my co-host at Game Boys, and I went to go see it in theaters. And I feel like we were the only ones that realized it was a Sam Raimi film. And so we were like the only ones laughing the whole way through. And everyone else was just like really off put as to what was happening.
It's like, cruel. He does like a weird hybrid of horror comedy.
Absolutely.
He does genuine horror moments. Like, and we're going off on a huge tangent here, but this is all about supporting, like, you know, like I said, it was brought on by supporting certain game developers. But yeah, it's a horror comedy, and some people didn't get it. I actually wrote for anybody who's interested in movies or Sam Raimi, I wrote a anniversary piece for Drag Me to Hell that I just posted a few days ago. It's the 10-year anniversary. And I talk about how what a Sam Raimi movie, you know, can actually be, like early Sam Raimi before he kind of started making movies more for the studio system. But I'm talking about like Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 2, Darkman, Quick and the Dead. These are all kind of very strange movies. He has this particular style, and he hadn't really done that for a long time. And then Drag Me to Hell came out, and it was like, yeah, that's the Sam Raimi I remember. Even though he knocked it out of the park with a couple of, I think Spider-Man 2 is probably the best comic book movie ever made. I might even put it above Chris Reeve's Superman. And I think that A Simple Plan is just absolutely brilliant and deserved its Oscar nominations, and just a fantastic, very much more restrained movie, but showed that Sam Raimi can branch out, that he's got plenty of talent working with actors and things like that. So yeah, anyway, it all goes back, like Drag Me to Hell, everybody should watch that movie. It's hilarious. Tim, I took two friends, and the opening scene, I won't give anything away, but a certain character meets his demise. And my two friends, who were not into those movies as much as I did, turned to me and said, "What the hell is this movie?" in the theater, like out loud. It's got a very shocking, like jarring beginning that I thought was awesome. And I love
the beginning.
Yeah, it's total Sam Raimi. The beginning and the end, that movie has one of the all-time most satisfying, like great endings, I think, of any horror movie. Anyway, yeah, so I do the same thing with indie developers. Otherwise, there's lots of sales that you can find on the eShop. You can find really cheap, like good games for cheap, like. And they're, you know, sales for things like SteamWorld Dig 2 and SteamWorld High. The SteamWorld games are on sale right now. And I just think I haven't found a ton of indie games lately that I wanted to pick up, but there are a lot of, like, the thing is, like, even though they start out costing more than I'm willing to pay for them, there are a ton of sales that do bring those down quite a bit. So the eShop is still, like, well worth perusing, especially under the deals section, just to see if there's anything that catches your eye. Because there are some people mark them down quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, that was a really big discussion of indie games in the middle of our what we've been playing, which is just fantastic. So go play Hollow Knight now, is what Patrick's saying yet again.
While you're watching Drag Me to Hell, go play Hollow Knight.
Absolutely, go watch Drag Me to Hell. I love that movie so much.
Yeah,
I haven't been playing anything new, honestly. I have been playing a little bit of the game Dauntless on Xbox, free-to-play Monster Hunter clone from Phoenix Labs. So that's kind of grabbed my attention a little bit. And I'm wondering, since we kind of talked about this a little bit, if that's going to be one of the surprise releases on the Switch at E3, last year they did Fortnite.
So you think they might announce that one? How does that stack up to Monster Hunter?
You know, honestly, it's like a little bit more approachable. It's a little bit quicker paced. The hunts don't take as long. So if you're like there to like grind and invest a lot of time and do a lot of planning, then Monster Hunter is your game. But if you want to get in, kill some monsters and get out, it's a pretty good substitute. I honestly really like some parts of that, because I think Monster Hunter, even though Monster Hunter World refined the experience and made it more engaging and inviting and approachable for new players, I still think it's needlessly obtuse. I think there's something to be said about cleaning up the inventory system and streamlining some of the prep work. I feel like it's not a ton of fun to have to go and gather a bunch of materials and then craft a bunch of stuff, then take that into hunts. Granted, you can go in and buy a lot of that stuff, but I feel like, I don't know, there are games that I found the system just to be more inviting and more engaging. I'm trying to think, like, maybe Breath of the Wild might be a good example. There's like a lot to that, like, inventory management system, but when it comes to cooking, you can kind of cook anything and get the same sort of effect. Like, you'll heal or you'll get stamina. It's just so simplified, right?
Or you'll get garbage.
Or you'll get garbage.
You do have to have some kind of, like, real-world knowledge of food and what could possibly go together. Otherwise, you will get garbage. If you just put, like, monster parts in there, you'll get garbage. Now, I feel like there are always purists, though, right?
Absolutely.
And you're talking to them like, oh, I feel like I don't like the preparation. I bet there are people out there who absolutely don't want that preparation taken away. They love the idea of the meticulous planning and the collection of materials, and it probably really increases the amount of satisfaction that they have when they finally take something down.
And, like,
I'm not mocking
all the more power to them. Go play your old Monster Hunter games. I hope in the future these things get more approachable. I think that don't be an elitist. Just let people enjoy things. If things get a little bit simpler, but remain, if the hunt remains challenging, I feel like that's where the true great gameplay experience is with that game. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to be lost, in my opinion, only to be gained if they make it a more streamlined experience. But again, that's my opinion.
Well, and who knows when we're getting a new Monster Hunter on the Switch. So, I mean, Capcom has been kind of, their releases on the Switch have been underwhelming, to say the least. Including, from what I understand, after watching some Digital Foundry stuff on the Resident Evil 4, the Resident Evil games, like, it does not seem like they did a fantastic job porting these things. So, who knows when the next Monster Hunter will be on the Switch, whether it'll just be a port of, you know, something else or what. So maybe it's time for some competition to get on there.
Yeah, and then, like, it might help. It's just interesting to see that Monster Hunter used to only be on Nintendo consoles, but it's really at home elsewhere, and maybe that's for the best. I think sometimes the change can help things. I don't think that Nintendo's doing itself any favors with their, again, we're talking about obtuse systems. The Nintendo Online is still a little bit needlessly obtuse, but granted, you could do something like a game chat built into it, but that's more work for them. Right. There's a lot to try to figure out there. Anyway, so all that to say, I haven't been playing anything new. I'm just doing my same old garbage, playing Destiny and Pokemon all the time.
Well, luckily, Tim, Nintendo gave us something to talk about anyway.
Yeah, a lot of some things to talk about. So why don't we take a quick break, and then when we come back, we've got a Pokemon press conference and a Pokemon Direct to talk about, so don't go anywhere. Welcome back to N Express. We're at our main event, a discussion of all of the Pokemon news, pre-E3, which is kind of how they like to do it. I have a pretty good track record predicting some of these announcements because they've set up a pretty steady pattern now of how they like to do it. But I believe this is the longest direct we've gotten this early, which is cool. They gave us a lot of details about Pokemon. But before that, there was a press conference held in Tokyo where the Pokemon Company divulged a bunch of information concerning everything outside of the main series games, including a new smartphone game coming soon and the future of the Pokemon Bank, which, Patrick, this probably meant nothing to you. Did you watch this press conference? I've got to know.
I did not watch the press conference, but I read the news. And the thing is, like, I tried to sort of understand what it was, but it came off like a couple of the announcements came off like Pokemon Pottery Barn or something, Pottery Barn departments. Like, there's Pokemon Sleep and Pokemon Home. And I was like, what do these things actually mean? It didn't seem like anybody had any concrete answers as to what Sleep was. And Home, I kind of get as a replacement for the Pokebank. Is that what it's called?
Yes,
but I don't really understand what it's doing differently.
Yeah,
because I've never participated in the Pokebank.
So that's the part that I'm the most excited about, and I think every Pokemon fan is really, really excited about this. because you don't know that the Pokemon Bank is a 3DS app, and it is exclusive to the 3DS games. So already you have a bunch of Pokemon on Pokemon Let's Go, and there's no way for you to access those Pokemon on your 3DS. So if you spent a long time hunting for a shiny Charmander, he lives on your Switch exclusively right now. Then you add in something like Pokemon Go, where you've got hundreds and hundreds of Pokemon, but they're all just stuck on your phone, especially since there's only the original generation in Let's Go, and that's all that you can send from Pokemon Go to Pokemon Let's Go.
Yeah, and then you lose them.
You can't touch.
And then you lose them in Go if you send them over to Let's Go, and you couldn't send them back.
So I'm not sure what the process is going to look like, if they're going to be permanently lost in certain games once you send them forward. But if it's anything like Pokemon Bank, what we're looking at is a system through which you can send Pokemon from anywhere in all of the Pokemon Kingdom, whether it's Pokemon Go, Pokemon Let's Go, or any of the old 3DS games, and put them in the cloud and then bring them to Sword and Shield down the line. If you're looking, they made a little diagram, and it looks like, if I had to guess, I would guess that things sent from Go and Let's Go, maybe not Let's Go, Pokemon Go and the 3DS, I'm guessing that's permanent and it's going to stay on Sword and Shield.
Okay.
If I had to guess, but according to that diagram, Sword and Shield has it going back into the cloud, which makes sense that that technology would be built for the newest games, that you would want them to be able to keep sending them places.
Yes.
So that's really, really cool. I'm really excited. I can't stress to you how exciting it is that I can get all of those Pokemon out of Pokemon Go, which I still play, granted, but only in just out of the hope that I would be able to do this down the line and send myself some really cool rare Pokemon to play with. And now I'm really excited that I can.
Can you do that from the outset of Pokemon games? Can you bring in all the... So, like, you're starting the game, and all of a sudden you're just stacked with Pokemon?
So, yeah, you can do that, assuming that there is the app or the service already in place.
Yeah, for, like, the 3DS games, if you're going to start X and Y, for instance, or something.
Yeah.
Could you just transfer in a Pokemon, all your Pokemon from Sun and Moon?
Yes, and... you could. So you could get yourself... not necessarily all the Pokemon from Sun and Moon,
or the ones
that'd be working backwards, but the ones that came out before.
Yeah.
Yes, you could.
So the generation leading up to X and Y, so you could transfer them all in. So you'd have like ripped Pokemon right away at the start, like you'd be just wasting people.
If you wanted to, yeah, you could just send yourself one super beefy Pokemon and beat the entire game with that one beefy Pokemon.
One Incineroar that just destroys everybody.
That literally just spanks everything in sight. Yeah, and Incineroar would be a really strong Pokemon to do that with. He's so, like, versatile. He could really get in there and cause a lot of mischief. But that's, like, how my friends and I really like to do what we call gym leader challenges, where we choose one typing and play exclusively with that typing. So most recently, I did this... And I did a bug challenge where I only used bug Pokemon the entire way through.
Bugs are the worst, Tim. I don't remember ever having a bug on my staff of Pokemon.
That's what made it kind of exciting, is they were notoriously the worst, right? They're weak. But there are actually quite a few strong bug Pokemon, so I had a lot of fun finding the best of the best and then going to town and playing through an entire game with just those bug Pokemon. So yeah, you could do that, but again, if the service isn't available, then there's really no way to do that.
Yes.
So theoretically, I could play Pokemon Sword and Shield, and I could play Sword first and then transfer all my Pokemon from Sword into Shield and then do what I was just saying, right? From all my stuff from Sword. And I could do that immediately, but anything on past platforms would be not available yet. And they did this in the past with Sun and Moon. That's when the Pokemon Bank came out. But you'll notice that when they were talking about this, they said this was coming out in 2020. And I think that's a very intentional delay. They did this with Pokemon Sun and Moon, where they delayed the Pokemon Bank about 3 months after launch, just to kind of highlight the Pokemon that were actually on the Pokedex in-game.
And so it's supposed to make sure that people play the game legit as opposed to just blowing through it with...
Yeah. Which, like, honestly, people are still going to find a way to blow through it and get through it as fast as possible and start prepping for competitive play or start breeding or training or whatever they want to do, right?
Yeah.
But I really like that they do this. So Pokemon Home will come down the line so that we all get to enjoy some of the new Galar region Pokemon before, I don't know, destroying with a team full of Zubats or whatever the heck people want to do, you know?
Yeah.
But that is absolutely the most exciting thing. I think anyone like me that just really likes the main series games above all else is probably excited that some of those cool Pokemon that were stuck in Pokemon Go or Let's Go, I can now get them in my main series games where I think they truly belong. So that makes those games immediately more valuable and more exciting too.
Yeah, and it connects the whole all the Pokemon games in a much much better way. You don't want, if you're creating this universe, I mean, look at what Marvel's done. Not that this is like a great analogy, but I'm saying that there is something to be said for interconnectivity, where everything, like, you know, Marvel's movies, Marvel's TV shows, Marvel's, you know, whatever, they all kind of like fit together and create a universe that people can really absorb themselves in. And that connectivity has a lot to do with like feeling like this lore is really rich and deep. And I think if Pokemon games can connect to each other, not that there's a ton of lore, but it can make the worlds feel like there's a Pokemon world out there.
Yeah, there's an attachment to these characters and these creatures, just like in the Marvel movies, right? You're just attached to some of these people, and you want to see them go forward. You want to see them in the next movie or what have you. So in the same way, that Pokemon that you caught that you never got a chance to use or intentionally chose not to use because your party was where it should have been, but you still really wanted it, like, now I can use that in Sword and Shield if I choose to. And that's really exciting to me.
Now, Tim, what is the Pokemon sleep thing?
So this is the most mysterious bit, right? Is they're somehow turning sleep into a game? And I'm guessing this, they've done a lot of different apps and like mini games on the side with different initiatives behind them, and that was sort of one of the cornerstones of Pokemon Go, was it was to get people out and walking.
And, right, yeah, and they make Pocket Monsters like early on where you took care of things, and
they had PokeWalkers in Heart Gold and Soul Silver for the same reason. You could take Pokemon for a walk, and they would grow and level up and pick up items and stuff. So yeah, it's a similar idea. And I think this is, again, to promote better sleep. What it's actually going to end up being, I'm not entirely sure.
But I'm not. Obviously, there's just got to be some stat thing here, because it can't be an actual game. Obviously, you're not conscious. You can't be playing something. So I don't know what it's going to do for you. But if they're saying it promotes, like, if it is a quality of life thing, I don't really... I guess I'm curious to see what they've come up with, how they can possibly enhance your sleep.
In my mind... it's gonna be some way to like encourage getting the proper amount of sleep. And so by being a sleep recognition service, right? These apps already exist. You can get them on your phones where you set your phone on your mattress and it can figure out when you were actually like in different sleep cycles. I'm guessing it's exactly that. But then you're gonna find Pokemon in the morning based on how you slept or something like that.
So the reward you for getting into REM sleep faster, what if you're like a person that, you know, because everybody's sleep habits are completely different. You can't like choose to sleep deeply.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I would guess that it'd be more based around getting the proper 7 to 8 hours rather than like, oh, you sleep really great. You sleep like a log. Like you couldn't encourage that because people can't control that.
So if you're lazy, you sleep in 10 hours, you know, or something like that, will you
exclusively get Snorlax and Slowpoke?
That's what I was going to say. You get Snorlax, yeah.
Right. It's just like, this is your spirit Pokemon. Shut up.
That to me, I it just sounds bizarre. I mean, that they'd even reveal it, but then not really reveal anything about how it works. I always find those teases to be kind of irritating, to tell you the truth. Like, why even tell me that you've got this thing that works while you're sleeping, and then give no details as to how? We'll just tell you at a later date how this all works.
And that's why this was like a press conference. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a big old reveal. And I think that maybe this is where you get the word out that it's coming and that it's going to be something fun to look out for people that are really into it. But I don't sleep. Like, I don't know if I want something telling me that I'm really bad at sleeping, because I know it's like, yeah, I go to bed late and I wake up really early. What of it? I don't care. I don't need something telling me to sleep better. Yeah. I know that I should be, and I'm not going to. So, already probably not for me, unless it's somehow associated with my favorite Pokemon, Darkrai, who is the bad dream Pokemon.
I don't think I ever saw that one. I was going to say, though, you know what's going to happen is there's going to be a bunch of, like, kids that are supposed to stay up late and cram for a test the next morning, but they're so fixated on getting the proper amount of sleep that they, because they need to get those Pokemon stats or whatever the rewards are, right, that they completely blow their tests the next day because they didn't stay up late to study enough, or they overslept or something like that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that one goes. So again, that's, I feel like, going to be one of those things that is interesting. I'm not sure how many people are going to buy into it, and I'm guessing it'll just be like a one and done sort of deal. It's just something fun they're experimenting with.
Sure.
But I don't know. Prove me wrong. There are lots of jokes on the internet about, like, what's next? What's the next thing that Pokemon's going to help me do better? A Pokemon toothbrush? I don't know.
I mean, it could be anything at this point. I mean, honestly, if you're playing a game while you're asleep, then I guess you could play a game when you're doing absolutely anything and use your imagination, folks. I'm not going to ascribe any of that for you.
Pokemon intimacy coming.
could be anything, okay. Tim. Anything. you mentioned breeding. All right. So there was the mobile game came out too.
So yeah, Pokemon Masters. And this week,
not came out. Sorry.
It's coming out. It's coming out this year. This one is the most exciting announcement besides Pokemon Home. It's super weird that there's a game coming out, and I'm more excited about just an app. But I want my Pokemon. So, like, I'm sure I'm far from the only person. But this looked pretty cool. It looks like it's a good celebration of the series, and it involves a lot of the different Pokemon champions and Pokemon gym leaders throughout the entire franchise.
Yes, you're fighting the champions, right? Is that how this works?
Yeah. So you're fighting all these people that were previous champions from each and every generation of game.
Red and...
Red is Dead Center, which I loved. Lance from Red and Blue. Cynthia from Diamond and Pearl. Like, you name it, they were there. And so that's kind of cool. I like that sort of celebration of the franchise. And it's cool to see characters that have kind of vanished, that they're just kind of limited to their generation. There are some characters that, like, were really popular. Cynthia has shown up in several games because she was, like, just so cool. And her Pokemon, you got to that fight, and you're like, oh, no, I respect your party. I'm kind of envious of your party. Because it was just, like, that cool and that good.
I never respected any of the Pokemon trainers. I just tore them apart, Tim.
I feel like you kind of miss this experience from certain games and certain generations where there are actually some good fights. Like, if you just rush through Gold and Silver and then you go up the mountain at the end of the game and try to fight Red, like, Red will do some serious damage, and his Pokemon are up to, like, level 80, and I believe the Elite Four was only in the 60s. So, like, he requires some serious training or some serious know-how, and he will put you in your place if you're not ready, which I love.
Okay. Wow.
But yeah, lately it's just kind of like you get to the league and your friend Hal's just an idiot and walks in with Pokemon that you've, like, beaten over and over and over again. And you're like, really, this again? Like, do I need to do this to you again?
And you destroy. You just absolutely lay waste.
And you're like trying to teach the game a lesson, even though it's a fictional character. You're like, okay, I'm going to beat you with one Pokemon. Please watch.
Yep, that's exactly it. I mean, that's what I did with Let's Go. And not granted, that was never supposed to be a very difficult game, but just my Pikachu just destroyed everybody in the end. That's just the way that it was.
And they're like, so there is something really satisfying, but I feel like Pokemon games have notoriously gotten easier, and I miss the days when it was kind of a challenge. I took on, in the fourth generation, Diamond and Pearl. I feel like that Pokemon League, if I'm remembering right, was a little bit more challenging than some of the other ones. So I, like, pushed myself and took them on with just one Pokemon. And, like, very satisfying by the end to be like, cool, this Pokemon is unbeatable. You can't touch me anymore.
See, that's my kind of RPG, the one where I can just sort of blaze through fights and then just get on with everything, see the sights and then get out. I'm not really, I'm very bad at like, I don't know, a lot of RPG tactics for whatever reasons. Even though I love puzzle games, like there's something about RPG tactics that befuddle me sometimes, which is why I couldn't get through Xenoblade Chronicles 2. You know, and I just reached a point where grinding was ridiculously slow.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to beat a certain boss. And I'm like, you know what? I really don't even care anymore. I don't want to have some, like, the strategies just have never come naturally to me since I've been playing RPGs. Like, and back in the SNES days, you just leveled up more. I would just grind. Like, that's all I would do.
Especially, like, with games like Pokemon, it's so unnecessary to have a, like, high strategy these days that, like, I'm still playing through Ultra Moon, and I'm just, like, taking my time, and I've, like, just, like, built up my party, like, mad, and I keep swapping Pokemon. And one of my favorite Pokemon from this generation is Toxapex. I don't know if you remember him. He's, like, one of the, he's, like, a little sea monster guy that's supposed to be, like, an anemone or something. He is poison water, but he has like no attack to speak of. He's just got insane special defense and defense, and a lot of his kit is built around like attritional battling, which is really cool. And he can do a lot of stuff where like he can get an ability that literally helps him like regain health as he's fighting, and so he can kind of just like stay out there forever if you know what you're doing. And I was building one of these up as I played through Ultra Moon. And then I kind of was like, you know what? Never mind. I'm just going to nuke everything. And I gave myself my Ash Greninja. And I was like, this is my water Pokemon now. I'm just going to like hit crazy hard and crazy fast and call that a day instead. So,
yeah, I mean,
I get where you're coming from.
And for everybody out there who can handle, like, who enjoys the tactics, like, good on them. I'm not trashing or anything like that. It's just that my brain has never worked that way when it came to RPGs. Like, where I can figure out tactics in other types of games, for whatever reason, RPG stuff has never stuck with me, like when to use buffs and all that kind of stuff. I know mildly I can get through some games, like, that require it, you know, mildly. But if a game is really intent on forcing you to explore how different things work and you know, have support characters and all that kind of stuff, I generally, like, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just has never clicked with me. So Pokemon games, I don't mind the ease of a lot of that stuff, or at least as long as they let you go through the main game. For me, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people out there are like you, though, that they wish that it was a little more challenging. Honestly, like, I don't play a Pokemon game for challenge, though. Like, that's just not my... It's Pokemon. Like, it's not supposed to be, you know, the next Final Fantasy, all right?
And it, like, appeals to so many different types of people that it's, like, really hard, like, to nail that just right. Like, there's collectors that are just there to catch everything. There are people that just want to see some cute monsters. There are people that want to get in there and breed some really rare, like, monsters. There are people that want to play competitively and are literally in there trying to figure out the absolute best way to sustain a team, or the best defensive new Pokemon, or, you know, like all these tactics.
Sure.
And I think like everyone should be able to play a game. And that's why it's cool that Pokemon has such like a deep system. If you know what you're looking for and you look into it after the fact, but during the main campaign, like, forget it. You can just like walk. And I think that maybe that's how it should be. Anyway, I like it.
Yeah, so I mean, so this battle thing like will suit people who are into that sort of thing. I can't see it being an app that I end up downloading. I don't really have a whole lot of interest in that. Although they did announce one other game, didn't they, Tim?
I'm trying really hard to remember.
Certain Detective Pikachu, maybe coming to the Switch.
They said Detective Pikachu with its proper ending is coming to the Switch. They did not clarify if this is like Detective Pikachu with an alternate ending, or if this is Detective Pikachu 2.
I think this is two. It had to me the tone of two. When they said Detective Pikachu is coming to Switch, I felt it meant like the character and not the original game, like not as a title.
Yeah, what do we have to pay to get Ryan Reynolds?
I wonder if they'd actually, if they do that, because apparently he had like some old man voice, right? Or like some Danny DeVito style. That's why people wanted DeVito doing it. And I know that meme went around for a little while too, which is why they wanted that. But yeah, so maybe they can get Ryan Reynolds to tie that in. But I'd be interested in playing Detective Pikachu. It seemed like the first one was sort of a, I don't know, a very, very casual detective game. But
yeah,
I'd check that out if it's got some funny stuff in it. A story really isn't my style, but it all depends on sort of what kind of content they have. If there are puzzles that you have to solve, I'm kind of cool with that. I might check it out.
Yeah, for sure. So that'll be a cool, and again, another good game on the Switch. 3DS, I'll see you later. Anyway, so that was all the press conference, and that was like the light fluffy stuff. The real meat was in today's Direct, where we finally got some more news on Sword and Shield. And this could have gone a couple of different directions. We could have gotten, for certain, we were going to get a release date, and we were going to get to see the cover legendaries. I predicted that really early on. That's how they always do it. If they're not announced immediately, then they're going to show up within the second one. And here we go. We've got two wolves, and we've got the release date November 15th this year.
Right.
Shocking no one. Again, like, they have such a pattern. It was absolutely mid-November. No one questioned that. And glad to see it is finally public. And I've got to ask, Patrick, how do you feel about these cover Pokemon? You watched the Direct. I know you did that.
Okay, so, like, as far as the design of the legendary Pokemon?
Yeah.
All right, so I like the design of the Shield one. I think that's at least, like, interesting, because it seems like he's got natural plating that it forms the shields, the sort of the shield look that he's got. So I like that. It's like an armored cat, right? But a naturally armored cat. The one with the sword in his mouth, I'm like, what? That's just a cat holding a sword. That doesn't seem really that legendary to me. I don't like that design. I feel like if he had a sword for a head or something like that, it would have been better. But it doesn't. He's holding a sword, Tim. Like, that's not. Shouldn't the weapon be like? Are there any other Pokemon that hold a weapon?
There are Pokemon that like have different. Like, Delphox and Braxen have sticks. I'm trying to think. Grookey has a little stick. He's in the new game, and different Pokemon like have weapons that are attached to them.
Yes. Like the shields are sort of attached.
Yeah.
Like attached to the cat. But this cat is holding in his mouth. I thought like he should have had like swords for legs. That would have been cool. But
just something totally bonkers.
And he like walks on his tippy sword, you know, like he just walks on the point of his sword's blades. That would have been, I think, kind of cool. Like he's at the Edward Scissorhands of Pokemon.
Well, like they have plenty of Pokemon that have like scythes for hands.
Yeah.
Like, there are plenty, like Scyther and Kabutops. And
Scyther looks cool, man. That's a badass.
Yeah, there are like a lot of cool Pokemon that have sort of like weapons for hands. Or like cannons and stuff. And yeah, this one's just holding a sword. I don't know how I feel about it. At first, I'll be totally honest, no offense to anyone, I was kind of turned off. I was kind of like, these are the weakest cover Pokemon we've ever gotten. Which may still be true.
I like the deer. Wouldn't X and Y like have the deer, the stag, or whatever?
Yeah, they had Xerneas, the life stag.
That was a pretty cool one.
Yveltal, the devil bird, which like so cool.
Yeah, those are both pretty cool. I said the shield one. These are kind of weak. You're right, because the shield one, it's not like he's that cool. I thought he was better than the sword one. I guess next to the sword one, the shield one just looks that much better. I don't know. I mean, can you imagine like if he had swords for paws? Like then they could show him like licking his sword blade like right after the kill, right? And he would be licking it like a cat does. Like, oh man.
Some sort of like swords coming out of his sides or something.
Or his ears are made of swords. I don't know, something. Like, or his, he was head sword shaped something, right? But Yeah, I thought, like, him holding a sword. Like, what if he drops his sword? All of a sudden, he's not a legendary Pokemon anymore.
Well, and I'm wondering, they have been doing a lot with forms, and sometimes they wait until the next game to actually do anything. There's, like, some sort of tease at the end of this reveal of the covers that made me wonder if they're going to, like, transform mid-battle. And I don't know. I just got, like, a Transformers vibe out of these guys. I don't know why. I don't know that it'll actually
Voltron.
Happen.
It was like a Voltron thing, or, where yeah. like those cats that all like they must form the mega cat,
right. Well,
and the Dynamax version of the legendary.
And that's the thing. We got giant Pokemon is now a mechanic, and so let's move on to that. I guess these guys. I should just wrap up my thought. These guys did grow on me. I think they're kind of cool.
Okay.
I don't know that they're ever going to be my favorite cover Pokemon. I think there have been too many greatly designed ones, but these ones grew on me with time. I don't know which one I like better. Honestly, I've been going back and forth. I like the like thinness of the sword one, but again, he's just holding a sword.
He is very svelte. I'll give him that. He's very lean and in shape. Yeah.
And I'm guessing he'll be a fast attacker, which is kind of my style. But like this shield one at first I was like, oh, he looks kind of bulky and weird, but I'm like, nah, I don't know. I kind of like the big old tank dog. So yeah, we'll see where I end up in the end. But we have giant Pokemon. We have Dynamax. It's just full-on mechanic.
All right. So yeah, where does this rank Tim in new mechanics, do you think, right off the bat? You know, I guess maybe you should explain what it is first for anybody who hasn't seen that.
So there is a new mechanic whereby Pokemon in what are called the Wilds, which is a big, open, vast space, can become giant. This is how they revealed it. They can become giant, and you can do a four-person raid against those Pokemon. That's really cool.
Looks very cool. Yeah,
like
that's combining Pokemon Go. Like I feel like with Have you ever been able to participate in something like that in a Pokemon game in the past, where there was multiplayer within the game itself, the main campaign?
Not beyond battling one another or goofing around in like secret bases and stuff.
Okay.
And it's funny because a long time ago, my brother and I would frequently play a game where it was like, if you got your hands on this property, what would you do? How do you improve it? What's the next big idea? And one of the things that I submitted for Pokemon was I've always wanted the story to have some sort of dynamic narrative component like this. Where, like, there's a very famous episode of the show where a giant Tentacruel attacks a city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's like a cool, like, Godzilla moment. And I would love that in game where you get to battle some giant monster
and
fend them off from a city. And I believe I even said, like, if you could somehow group up and do something like that, it would be the best thing in the whole world. And we kind of got that. It's not that full concept that I came up with as a younger me, but it is still really cool. I love the idea of raiding with some friends and taking on some big old Pokemon. What I'm less into is that it's full on like the new Z move mechanic. This is just something that you can do in gyms and in certain settings where you get to big your Pokemon too.
And it looks like you'll have to do it because it looks like the gym leaders are going to be doing this.
Yes, that's like their thing. And you can like totally anticipate you're going to be having a normal battle, and then they're going to throw out their like signature Pokemon, and they're going to do something cheesy, and then their Pokemon's going to get massive.
It's going to get embiggened.
Yeah. Even
the smallest Pokemon. That's where I wanted to go. Like, because obviously Pokemon's had some things like Mega Evolutions and the Z, what was that called again?
Z moves.
Yeah. Which was from Sun and Moon, right?
Yeah.
So where do you think this ranks in kind of these specialty moves that you can do?
Pretty low for me. If I'm being totally honest, let's like break this down really quick. Mega Evolutions were a little bit controversial because you have the issue of you're touching classic designs, which some people get really testy about. And you also just have this issue with competitive, where suddenly some Pokemon are statistically just so much better than others. How are other Pokemon going to be able to compete? In the end, I think it worked out okay. I think Megas are exceptional. I like that they went through all the extra effort of designing these new impermanent evolutions, and it just added some extra flavor to some existing Pokemon. And now I think all of us, like a lot of Pokemon fans, are out there like, can this old favorite get a Mega Evolution? Can this old favorite get one? And everyone is kind of afraid of the, like, Pokemon frequently introduces something and it happens for a generation and then it's gone. Yeah. And that was what happened with Megas. And we haven't gotten one since Alpha, Sapphire, and Omega Ruby, which was like part of the X and Y era. I'm like, that's so disappointing to me. And then we went to Z moves with Sun and Moon, and it was just a really strong attack, which is kind of cool. They at least went through the effort of designing all these attacks. And it was kind of like an ace in the hole, right? Like, you're in a tough spot and you could suddenly just like nuke your opponent or do something really cool.
I don't even remember using it that much to beat that game. I think I might have used it like 2 or 3 times. And I think the first time I used it was just to see what it did.
If an opponent had one Pokemon left and I knew I could hit them for super effective and like ensure the knockout, then that's when I would use it. But most of the time it was like just extra time spent that I didn't need to spend because it was like my regular attack's going to knock you out because you're dumb.
Yeah, and they would use theirs occasionally, like the one would bring like the moon crashing down on you or something. But yeah, I mean, it was like, okay, whatever, but I can beat you. I mean, I've just gone through all the normal, you know, motions anyway, and I can still lay waste to you. Like, your Z-move will do nothing. I'm too highly leveled at this point. So I never even bothered, for the most part, to even try out them. I don't know. It didn't seem like you had to do them.
No, you never really had to, but it was cool and it was like fun, and some of them got their signature Z moves and they like just looked cool, and sometimes you were just like,
yeah, cool animation.
Yeah, you're just like into it. You're just like, hey, yeah, now my Pokemon's gonna destroy yours and it's gonna look cool, and it's like I'm taunting and defeating you all in one. And so that was fine. But this, I don't know, it doesn't sit well with me. And James had a similar issue where, like,
yes,
design wise you just made them big.
Yeah, they kind of look like Macy's Day Parade blow-ups, yeah, of regular Pokemon. And you sort of expect them to just like be moving really slowly and kind of like, you know, floating a little bit. I don't really see the point of having like, okay, there's a little bit more fireworks, I guess, except It's almost like they're doing the same thing. They're just bigger, so it fills your screen. It doesn't even really fill your screen that much more.
Yeah, but, and like you didn't have to design anything.
No,
right?
And like, no new animations or anything like that.
And it's like, oh yeah, we also could bring up regional variants was another Sun and Moon mechanic that just showed up for one generation, and people want more. And I'm just like, nope, it's going to be gone. And I think people want them to, like, stick with some of these mechanics. And if you're going to introduce them and shape the metagame for a couple of seasons, you might as well, like, keep it around. But they just habitually abandon ideas. And, like, some stuff's a permanent addition. And some things have, like, really shaped the game and the way you can play. But there are a lot of these, like, core experiences to certain generations only that are just there for a second and then gone, and people want more of them. So like, I would have been so much more excited if they're like, here's Megas, but I just knew they weren't gonna do it. And so I was kind of waiting, what's the new core conceit here, what's gonna be the Galar region twist? And to see that it's big Pokemon is just not thrilling. The raids, I was very excited.
That was very cool. I think the raids is cool. Like,
that's incredible. I love
fighting
that's
a progress. Giant Pokemon is cool, I think.
Right, but part of me is sitting here like, is this just going to be a thing where my opponent gets a really big Pokemon and then I spank him with a regular Pokemon anyway?
Like, yeah, like Z move, right? Like, where it
right, exactly.
Well, that was my question. My next question to you: how involved do you think Dynamax is going to be? I mean, obviously it was kind of front and center for a lot of this direct, so they made it seem like it was going to be important, but you couldn't really tell how important I couldn't tell how important it really was going to end up being.
And you know, it was exclusively with like gyms and the raids.
Yeah,
so like how much of the game that's actually going to be, and they did say in specific settings, so I don't know if it's going to be like this massive core conceit, really, or if it's just going to be something that's there some of the time. But you wouldn't think they would bother to introduce it at all if it wasn't going to show up more often than not.
That's kind of what I thought, too. When somebody puts that something like that up there, I feel like it means you're going to be doing it a lot. And that's what was kind of annoying about it, because it was like, oh, do I really need to keep track of this thing? Am I going to have to, like, play? I'll say this is me. Obviously, for everybody who wants greater difficulty, maybe they like this. But having to play a little more chess during those trainer showdowns, because now I have to worry about their Dynamax Pokemon, and I'm going to have to time my Dynamax Pokemons perfectly, and I don't know.
Let's be honest, with like a raid, that's going to be really cool. With the average trainer, they're probably not going to do it. The average trainer is probably going to have one Pokemon.
Oh, I'm sorry, gym leader is what I meant.
Not gym leaders, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, they're probably like gym leaders carry what, 2-3 Pokemon? Like for whatever reason, Pokemon doesn't give them.
Like, I know, right? They don't have a full
4 or 5 or 6 ever.
And it's like, come on, like, because they're so cocky, Tim. They don't need that many.
Right? And it's like, I'm showing up with a super effective Pokemon. You should have a lot of Pokemon for me to smoke.
I just usually want to move on from the gym leaders and get on with the rest of the game. But yeah, so it's hard to say. I wasn't too, like, honestly, I hadn't really had much pause about the game until the Dynamax thing. I was like, I don't really want to do that. I don't want some sort of special gimmick that I have to, like, do. I kind of just wanted to be able to explore the world more freely. And some of the things that showed up in the trailer really, I was glad that Pokemon are roaming free in the wild, that area that you were talking about, that big expanse. And I'm hoping that's going to be really big and not just like one little, you know, one meadow or something. But I like the idea of Pokemon showing up, not just randomly, not hidden, but actually being able to be seen. And then the time of day and the weather, like there's weather. I like that's
cool.
Yeah. I like that influences what you're going to actually see. So
that's been a mechanic technically in certain games where that will happen. That happened in X and Y, where it could be raining in certain areas and then new Pokemon would show up.
Oh, okay. Well, I never played X and Y. So that,
and I don't think it ever happened in Sun and Moon at all.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember that happening in Sun and Moon. But I mean, to me, that like being able to see them out in the open, just like Pokemon Let's Go, I think that's something that most people wanted too. Like at least an area where you could go catch Pokemon. If it's not everywhere,
yeah, that's kind of cool. I'm excited that there is sort of an open world aspect of the game. But I'm wondering how much of it is actually going to be that. And I'm actually kind of hesitant. Like, if the full thing went full open world, I feel like it could be really, really cool. And if you were just kind of at liberty to explore at your leisure and go to different areas and find new Pokemon there and that way, like, it could be really cool and it could work out mostly the same. But there's something to be said about finding a new route, and then on that new route, you know you're going to encounter some new Pokemon, and that new Pokedex is going to get filled that way.
I did not get the sense that this is an open-world Pokemon game in the slightest. I got the sense that the wild is a specific region. The rest of the game, a lot of what they showed, looks like you're following paths, just like you normally would. Although there was a weird like side-scrolling part in a city or something that was kind of strange. But I felt like only in the wild are you going to be able to control your camera angle, and only there is it going to feel like you're running around in open space. I'm just hoping that open space is large, but not for a second do I believe that the entire game is that way.
No, and I think down the line, if the full games get open world, again, it could be cool, but I personally would like them to keep kind of close to the experience that we're used to for the time being until that's like really, really well developed and they've got a firm hold of that.
The whole thing with Pokemon is it's always a journey. Everything's always a journey. And so I think it behooves a game that's trying to seem like a journey to have sort of a more definite path laid out in front of you. I don't feel like Breath of the Wild was a journey. I feel like it was an adventure, but I don't think that I took a journey in that game because you're just kind of running around all over the place. I think, classical journeys, like, you know, an Odyssey or something like that, you go down a set path. And I kind of think that is something that Pokemon feels like. It feels like you set out, and it's not like the whole world's at your fingertips and you can just choose which direction to run off in. You're going down a path. There is an end. You can see the end coming. There's a chain reaction. There's events have been set in motion, and you are going along this. I kind of like that feeling from Pokemon. You know, it doesn't need to be Breath of the Wild, the Pokemon version or anything.
But so many people were asking for that, and I was like, I don't think you know what you're actually asking for.
After Breath of the Wild, they wanted every open world everything, every game. Open world F-Zero! You know,
like, right,
it was getting ridiculous. But yeah, I do like the wild. I think that's an appealing part of it. I think the raids are super cool. That was one of the things that really got me perked up, even though, I mean, I don't really have a whole lot of people that I can connect to online, but I think it's a super cool idea, period, for Pokemon. And I like the way the world looks. I would say visually it's not exactly the prettiest thing I've ever seen. It's still a little early on some of that stuff. Maybe they can boost that frame rate a little bit. Does it seem a little wonky to you? That also could be the stream. But
yeah, it does look a little bit. Pokemon kind of has a tendency to be not at like absolute peak performance, but their games are so dependable for it, if that makes sense.
I
think that's the way they're approaching this again. And so it's going to be like, it's kind of like with Sun and Moon. It looked really good, but it did not look like the best game on the 3DS. I think that we're going to have the same scenario here, which I'm fine with. Honestly, like as long as the designs are good and the game is designed well, I don't care so much graphically how pretty
it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although for someone like me, like
nice.
Like I'm the person that is going to play this game for the sights and sounds kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
No, I thought Let's Go. I actually found that to be a visually appealing game, even though it was basically just it was a simple looking game in visual terms. But I found it really appealing. I'm hoping this one will do the same thing. There are certain pieces that are already pretty attractive. I'm just hoping everything.
You can tell where their focus is, and this is something that I really appreciate. Whether you're talking about Let's Go or what we're seeing with Sun and Moon, is that they clearly put more effort into making the Pokemon look good and the fights look good, and the rest of the world, well, a little less so. And I feel like that's kind of how Let's Go was, where like the world looked good, the characters were like very cartoony, but then the Pokemon, while they were fighting, looked really sharp, and the effects looked really, really good. And I feel like we're getting that here, and I prefer that also, where like the majority of my time is going to be spent battling Pokemon. I want those fights to look really cool and dynamic. And I feel like that's accurate. That's still here.
And the towns, I mean, this looks like the most detailed towns they've ever had. This looks
They
look really interesting and different designs too. It doesn't look like the same Pokemart that you run into in every single game.
No, they do a pretty good job of like slowly, they've been doing a better job slowly evolving these regions so that they're not all just like versions of Japan or something. Anyway. The new Pokemon. That's the other big part of this game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. There are three new designs that they showed off.
So, actually, we got four, including one evolution. So, we got Gossifleur, and its evolution, Eldegoss.
Did Gossifleur, was that like, was she like, I mean, it seemed like it was, I'm sorry, it's probably not a female, but I'm just, it has a very feminine look to it. It seemed like it was a cat call, like the noise that it was making was a cat call.
I didn't even notice that. That's funny. But it also, that might have been the thing. It's supposed to be like a very pretty flower. So
yeah, a young and pretty flower. And then it turns into an older, wiser flower that's like spreading seeds all over the place.
Like an elderflower or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And they did not do the cat call sound when it was the older flower. That was me. Maybe I was hearing things. Anybody want to comment on that, please let me know.
It might be accurate. That might have been an intentional design choice. Yeah. We also got Wooloo, the little sheep.
Yeah, it was everybody, of course, is saying that Wooloo is very cute and adorable, which how could a sheep not be? A cartoon sheep is almost always adorable. But
I mean, if you're looking at the design, I see some little horns. Let's hope this turns into a black
or something. Bah, ram you.
I mean, we're talking England, right? They had a lot of witches. That's true.
That was not Australia. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I got you. All right. Sure.
Let's just take this to like an upside down pentagram area. Maybe it'll
turn into the learned goat.
Yeah. That could be really cool. We got Dredna, a little, I think he was water rock. Little snapping turtle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, who has that bite move that you see occasionally.
Yep, which was like one of their like more cartoony designs. He probably evolves into something that's like equally as cartoony, but kind of cooler.
A Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, obviously.
And then we got the Pokemon that stole the show, Corviknight. The super cool black raven.
Yeah, what is the deal with this raven? It can take you to villages that you or towns that you've been to.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be the fly mechanic.
Okay.
Just like Charizard.
Yes, from Let's Go and stuff like that.
Yeah. So at some point they're going to, rather than give you fly and make you waste one of your move spaces, they started to consider that players maybe didn't want to do that, and they gave them other ways around it. So it looks like this is our fly mechanic, is this giant raven. And man, this guy looks cool, and I'm really into him, and I hope he's really good. He's a flying steel type, not original. Skymori is that way, but it's a good type. Removes some of its weaknesses, I believe. I believe it removes the weakness to rock. Could be wrong. I'd have to look into that. But man, it looks really sharp, really well designed.
And, yeah, that was definitely the cool one. There's no question about that. Like, that was definitely designed for players who want something sleeker and more deadlier looking. Whereas the other ones had more of a fanciful, I guess they were more in line with the starter Pokemon, kind of the cartoonish nature of them.
And like, if you have some time on your hands and you want to read my ranking of all of the starters, I go into this a little bit. It's a super long article. If you want to skim it, I'm not offended at all. But in that, I talk about how I prefer my starters to be designed. And in general, like, the ideal is they start out ridiculously cute and then they turn into a monster by the end.
Yeah, like Little and Incineroar. I think it's right. Pretty awesome. Like, that's exactly. An awesome transformation.
Like, you start out...
Or Litten, not Little.
You start out with, like, a cute little Squirtle. By the end, he's Blastoise, and he's got cannons.
Yeah.
Or, like, Typhlosion, I think, is one of the best examples. Like, Little Cyndaquil is just as cute as it can be. By the end, Typhlosion looks like he's going to tear your face off, and I love it. This guy's got that going on. I'm wondering if he's, like, fully evolved, or if he's just a single-stage Pokemon. Really excited to learn more about some of these Pokemon, but, yeah, the pretty sharp designs, liking what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, the sheep one was probably the one where I was like, okay, I don't really see a whole lot here. It basically looks like a sheep, you know, as opposed to, like, I always expect more of a hybrid thing from a Pokemon, like a monster. But yeah, other than that, it's cute, don't get me wrong. I just think it looks exactly like a sheep.
Well, and like, for some of their normal type Pokemon, they keep it pretty straightforward. There's like Herdier was basically just a little like Scottish Terrier.
Yeah, and there's that bull who basically is just a bull.
Taurus, yeah, it's basically exactly what it sounds like. So sometimes they play it a little bit more straight, but you never know. Again, there are horns poking out. This is turned into the devil Pokemon.
Those horns are definitely going to come into play.
And I'm just hoping this one gets dark. I hope everyone's like, this is the cutest Pokemon. And then by the end, they're like, dear Lord, what just made it into this game?
I can't see anything in this. This game definitely does not have that feel to it. Although there is kind of a somber, like, the sort of the color scheme is, it's like fall-ish. It seems like there's a somber look to the visuals. I don't recall seeing any lush green grass and blue sky moments.
I mean, there's quite a bit of green grass and blue sky in this game, yeah, but it is a little bit.
In the background, isn't there always brown, and the trees are kind of brown mountains, and or, you know, brown mountains and brown trees and brown towns.
I think the like where you first start, the first animations were pretty grassy and blue.
Oh, okay. But
they didn't show as much of that this time around. Anyway, I think that like is pretty much most of what they showed, if not all. But it's looking pretty promising. Again, not a fan of everything. But this is shaping up to be a pretty cool Pokemon game. And again, I can't complain that it's on the Switch, finally. I think this is going to be a great hardware seller, for sure.
Yeah, and they've got, right during Christmas, right before Thanksgiving and Christmas, of course. I think that's the guarantee, and there's going to be Switch bundles with Pokemon, I am sure, by Christmas time. I think, and they got 6 months. You know, I'm sure we didn't learn about everything that's going to be new here, and they've got 6 months to sort of, like, you know, make everything optimized as much as they can and make it the best kind of, you want to make a good impression on the Switch with your first Pokemon game. You like, you don't want to stumble in this one or have it be kind of lackluster. So I hope they're really going all out to make this one kind of a, you know, I don't know about masterpiece, but really have it be one of the better Pokemon games instead of, I hope they're not just sort of coasting, you know, and
yeah,
just a Pokemon game on the Switch. We've seen some new features, but I hope they really go all out because you kind of want to make a splash. This is your first console Pokemon.
Yeah, home console and on the go. This is going to be a big one.
Yep.
So people are going to be into it no matter what, but let's hope it's one of the greats. And why don't we close out the only way we possibly can, and I think I know your answer. Real quick, Patrick, are you buying this and Sword or Shield?
I am going to buy this, and I, even though I think his design is worse, I will go with Sword because I just like Swords over Shields. I'm an attack-minded guy, not a defensive-minded guy.
I'm kind of in the same spot. I'm kind of liking, the more I look at it, the more I think I like the Shield's design better. But again, Fast and Furious is the way to play.
Yep.
So
Swords are cool, man.
Always.
I spent too much time drawing them as kids. I'm not going to go turn my back on them now.
Right. Well, seriously, never turn your back on a sword.
Always look eye.
Look them dead in the eye as they study.
That's what Mr. Miyagi taught me.
Yeah. Anyway, Patrick, thank you for being here with me. Where can we find you online?
You can, of course, find me online at GoombaStomp.com, where I am writing various articles, including my Gato Roboto review. You can read that. And my Drag Me to Hell 10-year anniversary retrospective. Check that out for sure if you're a movie fan, or if you're a horror fan, if you're a Sam Raimi fan. Otherwise, you can also find me on Twitter at Sorted Cinema.
Sweet. Do all those things. I'm Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. Check out my work on Goomba Stomp, my other show, Game Boys. If you're into Destiny, I just did a piece analyzing how I feel about some of the nerfs to some of the content of the game. If that doesn't appeal to you, ignore it, because it's not for you. But do us and express a favor. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen, drop us a rating and a review. It really does do a lot for our site. It allows us to go to cool events like E3. We're sending a couple of different people, although no one from NXpress is going this year.
No, not this year. Only Ryan is the only person returning this year.
Yeah.
From the original crew.
So a little bit different this year, but still I'm sure we're going to have lots to talk about. So you're going to have to tune in next week because we're going to have Nintendo's E3 press conference to discuss. And I'm sure it's going to be big, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of excitement. So you're not going to want to miss that one. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you more next week. Go play some Nintendo games.